Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Father, we're thankful this morning for the love of God that bought us. Thank you for the love of God that sought us. Thank you for the love of God that saved us. I pray this morning that you'd help me by the anointing of the Holy Ghost to present the simplicity of the gospel. I pray, Father, that somebody would believe it. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be affected by it. I pray, Father, that when we leave here this morning, we'd be more aware of God's love. We'd experience in our life, Lord, the mighty touch of God's hand. Lord, we come here to meet with you. If we leave this place without meeting with God, Lord, we've missed out on a blessing. I pray for your presence mightily in this service. Ask you, Lord, to open our hearts to your word. May we give glory and honor to your name, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning with the help of the Lord on the power of darkness. Verse 13 says we've been delivered, that Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, delivered from the power of darkness. The Bible teaches us that men live in one of two realms. You either live in the realm of darkness, or you live in the realm of light. We all belong to the light of the darkness. We're all taking orders either from heaven or hell. We're either part of God's kingdom or part of Satan's kingdom. There's just two classes of people in the world. You're living in one of those two realms, the realm of darkness or the realm of light. The darkness refers to the kingdom of Satan, the realm of his rule, where Satan holds sway. It's the realm of darkness. He's called the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So this darkness refers to that realm in which Satan is the ruler. He's the god of this world. The darkness refers to the spiritual ignorance of those people in that kingdom of Satan. They are spiritually ignorant. That's the reason that they're there, because the Bible speaks of that vast Gentile world of Paul's day. Paul talks about it like this. He says they walk in the vanity of their mind in Ephesians 4:18. They walk in the emptiness of their mind, the futile thinking of their mind. They've been blinded by the god of this world. They walk in darkness. The next verse says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They were inheritors of this darkness. You know, we inherited a heart that was drawn to the darkness. And these people that Paul is speaking to here in Ephesians, they inherited this deadly darkness from their forefathers. Their forefathers had rejected the truth. God had turned them over to a reprobate mind. They lived in the darkness. They taught their children to live by the principles that were drawn from the darkness. And we too are living in a generation that are living by principles that have been drawn from the darkness, passed on from generation to generation by those who have rejected the light and turned away from the truth. The kingdom of darkness flourishes in the United States of America, in this country in which we have on our coins, "In God We Trust." But the kingdom of darkness flourishes right here in the United States of America. Millions of men inhabit the darkness of pornography. The vast majority of our youth live in the darkness of fornication and fleshly lust. Very few of them go to the altar in marriage pure. Thousands of men slink in the utter darkness of child pornography and pedophilia. Thousands of them right here in the United States of America. There's a thriving business of child pornography in this country. Tens of thousands of people live in homes that are dominated by the darkness of Hollywood soap operas, MTV, brutal and perverted movies, and electronic games. And there are thousands of business establishments in this country blinded by the darkness of illicit relationships between fellow workers. Multitudes of companies in this country are victims of the darkness of embezzlement and shoplifting and the efficiency of our government is crippled by the darkness. I want to tell you something. We're in really deep trouble, economic trouble in this country. And I dare say, trace back to its roots, this problem lies in the sinful passions of men's hearts. It's darkness that's flourishing in this land. The kingdom of darkness is holding sway in the very capital of our country. And our country is crippled by the darkness of extreme partisanship and politics of self-preservation. So when a man gets in office, his main concern is to stay in office. It doesn't matter what happens to his constituents or to the nation as a whole, but this spirit of self-preservation kicks in. And we'll do whatever it takes to stay in office. And the nation goes down the tubes. Our school systems dispense the darkness of the unlimited potential of autonomous man, that is, man that's declared his independence from God. And they teach that man has unlimited potential if he can just free himself from the shackles of religion and the restraints of religious belief. Public education in this country is a realm of darkness. And it denies the Creator his role in his creation and teaches our children that we're just an accident of nature, that we just evolved from some lower forms of life. I'm telling you that I have just described a few areas where the darkness rules in our land. The kingdom of darkness is flourishing in our country, in our communities, and in many of our homes, perhaps right here in this church this morning. Oftentimes, parents do not know of the darkness that grips the hearts and minds of their children right in their home. Every person that has ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has experienced life in the darkness of sin. We all have thoughts, words, deeds in our past that cause us shame. We don't want nobody to know about it. I can preach to you this morning. I can point out your deficiencies. I can tell you of your shameful deeds. But I have to acknowledge that in my past, there are shameful deeds as well. There are things I'd never tell you about. Don't want anybody to know, because I have lived in the darkness myself. And everybody that's here has lived in the darkness. And there are things in your past that you are ashamed of, that you do not want anybody to know. Paul asked the question in Romans 6:21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Peter described the life in darkness like this: for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Lasciviousness refers to actions that are motivated by sensuality, dressing or acting in a manner to excite lust. And reveling and banqueting refers to social gatherings characterized by drunkenness and unrestrained conversation and behavior, where men throw caution to the winds and obey the violent passions of the lust and lust of the flesh. The tragedy of American religion is this: the number of people that are engaged in shameful behavior, who consider themselves to be Christian, who consider themselves to have a title deed to a mansion in heaven. Paul described our circumstances. My, how accurately he did, with prophetic precision. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he said, this know also, that in the last days, are we there? This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times, troublesome times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is the reason for troublesome times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. The affection that is not learned, but the affection that comes through nature. It causes us to love our children, causes us to love our companions. Natural love. But then the last days, they would be without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers. And that word translated false accusers is diabolos, which is the same word that's used to name Satan, the accuser, the slanderer. False accusers, incontinent, without self-control, fierce, which means savage, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady. This word heady means reckless, headstrong in the pursuit of a bad end. High-minded means puffed up with pride that renders a person insolent. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then adds this to that: having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, the most horrifying aspect of these people is not their degraded morals, but, listen to me now, it's their attempt to cloak their shocking behavior with religion. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God said about those people, from such turn away. They remind me of the fellow who gave him this testimony. He said, I've not been what I ought to be. I've robbed hen roost. I've stole hogs. I've got drunk. I've told lies. I've slashed with my razor. But thank the Lord, there's one thing I've never done. I've never lost my religion. John has something to say about that. That religious sinner. In 1 John 1, 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, he said we lie and do not the truth. If I am engaged in sinful, shameful behavior, and at the same time I claim a relationship with the God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all, the Bible says about me, I'm a liar. Do you know where liars go? Do you know where all liars are going to wind up? All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And I'm telling you, when God labels you a liar, there's no way of getting around it in the judgment of God when God said you're a liar. So if I walk in darkness and I claim a relationship with the God who is light and in whom is no darkness at all, God said, you are a liar and you do not the truth. Now the darkness does not relinquish its inhabitants without divine intervention. Are y'all still with me? I want you to hear me now. You don't get out of the darkness on your own. My text mentions the power of darkness. There's a power in that darkness. Nobody walks out of that darkness on their own. You have to be delivered from the darkness. That's what my text says. It says that God or Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. Nobody gets out of darkness just because they decide we're going to walk away. You don't walk away from darkness. You only get delivered from the power of darkness. You've got to be delivered from it. You've got to be delivered from the love for the darkness. This is the reason that people don't want to get out. They love the darkness. The Bible says in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. What light? Jesus is talking about himself. I'm the light of the world. Light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Now hear me. What Jesus is saying is that men love their sins better than they love Jesus. They love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Here's the reason that people sin. They love sin. There's something inside of them that causes them to love the darkness. We have to be delivered from the love of the darkness. I'd have never got saved, brother, until God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, broke my affection and attachment to the deeds of darkness. There came a time in my life where I got tired of my sin. Oh, my. Instead of an enjoyment, it became a burden to my soul. I feared God. I saw what my sin was doing to me. I saw the deadliness of my sin. And God delivered me from love for the darkness. Secondly, we have to be delivered from the blindness of the darkness. The Bible says in 1 John 2 and 11, But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Talk to people in the darkness. They're not afraid of their destiny. They're not afraid of their destination. Men tell me who are in darkness and in sin, I'm not afraid to die. You know why? The reason they're not afraid to die, they're blind to their destiny. They do not know where they're going. They don't understand that the fires of hell are just before them, and they have no fear of their destiny because they're blinded by the darkness. God has to deliver us from the blindness of the darkness until we see where we're headed, where we're going, that destruction lies ahead, that the fires of hell are just beyond the point of death. Then thirdly, we have to be delivered from the power of darkness. As Paul lay in the dust of the Damascus Road, Jesus revealed the divine plan for Paul. He said, "Paul, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, delivering you from the Gentiles unto whom I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." God said to Paul, "Paul, I got a mission for you. I want you to go tell men in darkness, tell them the light of truth. I want you to go to men who are held in the grip of the power of darkness and let them know there's a greater power. Turn them from the power of darkness to God. There's a power greater than the power of darkness. It's the power of God. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. It breaks the chains of sin. It delivers us from the power of darkness. It sets us free. As the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. It's power in the name of Jesus, and power in the blood of Jesus, and power in the Spirit of God to deliver and set men free. Salvation is not just a message of forgiveness. Salvation is a message of deliverance. Jesus came to deliver us from the power of darkness. I remember hearing the story, I think on Dr. James Dobson's program, about this young lady when she was a teenager in high school and got mixed up with the wrong crowd and trying to be popular, gave her body away, engaged in shameful acts, party life, shameful life. She lost all respect for herself, got into the drug culture, drinking, drugging, partying, immorality of all kinds. Word got around among the ball team and men in the community. She's available. Time went on. Sin at first was glamorous. Sin at first, you know, has pleasure. After a while, sin turned on her. Life became miserable. She's in bondage. The thing she wants to break loose from and can't get loose from now. Life takes a turn downward and she can't seem to reverse it. She's moved in with her boyfriend. She's living with her boyfriend. And she's in such bondage and such misery. Walking down the street one day in her misery, she just sees a church and she thinks about her childhood and about going to church, and she thinks, maybe I can get some help in this church. It's not church time, but she walks in. The door's open. She doesn't see anybody in the sanctuary. She wanders in the halls, miserable, wretched, broken by sin, ashamed of her life. Finally, she found somebody, the janitor, working in the church. She went up to him. She said, "Sir, I need help. Can you help me?" He began to talk to her about Jesus. He began to tell her about the saving grace of God. She wept. She said, "I was ashamed. I came in to that church with a miniskirt on, and I was ashamed of what I looked like." But she said, "God's Spirit came down, and that man, the janitor, laid his hands on her and prayed for her, and she prayed, and God saved her right there in the hallway of the church." She said, "I walked out of that church a different girl." She went home that day, packed up her bags, and moved out. God delivered her that very day. You understand that salvation is more than forgiveness of sins. It is deliverance from the power of sin. While Sister Judy comes to the piano this morning, my granddaddy gave his heart to Jesus when he was probably around 30 years old, had several children. My grandmother had been praying for him, for God to save him. He had resisted my grandmother and fought against her. My grandmother just kept on praying. In spite of the opposition of her husband, he'd come in sometimes and clap his hands over her mouth and tell her to shut up. And my little grandmother had such an experience with God. She wouldn't let nothing stop her from praying. She kept on praying for my granddaddy until one day, that man who had opposed her so hard, that man who had been such a skeptic and such a critic of the people of God, God got a hold of his heart and brought him to the house of God. And in that service that day, God touched the little child, never had walked, brought that child up to be prayed for, anointed that child and prayed for that child, and God instantly healed her. Child jumped off the altar and went running back through the church. My skeptic granddaddy saw that. It affected him. He went home. On the way home, he said to my granny, "I want you to pray for me that God will save me." She said, I've been praying for you." The next night, he made his way to the altar. He said, "I couldn't hardly wait till they gave the altar call." Made his way to the altar. Knelt in the altar. God gloriously saved my granddaddy. I heard him testify many times. He said, "That night, when I got up from the altar, I was such a changed man. All those old habits that had hung on me for years, smoking, gambling, and drinking, and cussing, and carrying on like he had for all those years," he said, "they dropped off of me that night like somebody walking up to an apple tree with overripe apples on it and giving it a good kick." He said, "That's the way my sins fell off of me that night. Because Jesus has come to do more." Hallelujah. He's come to do more than just pronounce forgiveness of what you've done. He's come to deliver you from the power of darkness. You don't have to live no longer in the darkness. The Bible says that we are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness into marvelous light. Oh, I feel it. I feel it in my soul this morning. I'm glad. I'm telling you, I'm glad for the power of God that's greater than the power of darkness. You can be delivered this morning. You're here in bondage to sin. living in the darkness, you can be delivered this morning by the power of God. I want us to stand together. If you're here without Jesus, don't hesitate. Come on to this altar. Bow in the presence of the one that loved you, gave his life for you to save you. Will you come now? Are you here without Jesus? Are you miserable? Is your life a wreck? Jesus can fix it. Oh, he will fix it. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. This very day, you don't have to live another day in your misery. Not one more day in your bondage. Not one more. I said not one more. You can be set free today by the power of the blood of Jesus. There's a power greater than the power of your darkness. Jesus has come to set you free. Come on. Come on right now. Step out right now. Let Jesus save you now. That's him talking to you. That's his voice inside of you. That's his knock on your heart's door. That's his spirit pulling and tugging. That's Jesus, the one that loves you.